Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Echan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. This is The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday the 28th, is it? Yeah, it looks like 28th of March already. 2019, first quarter is pretty much done now. And again, a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early morning to everybody listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh is a bit warm today with highs reaching up to the lower 80s. The mercury managed to get up to 82 degrees to be exact. And that was, of course, in the latter part of the afternoon. And we've had largely sunny skies today. So with springtime now getting into full swing, we are not expected to see any temperatures below the 80s in the near-term forecast. So it is time for the locals perhaps to begin their adjustment towards the very hot summer cycle here. So what can I say? It's just kind of warm, guys. Winds have been about 7 to 12 miles per hour. Not so bad, quite frankly. And we have, right now we're sitting about, 65 degrees. It's just after 1 o'clock in the morning. We'll be going down to 58 degrees in the hour before sunrise, so it should all be quite a nice night. And then, of course, tomorrow we're going to really turn around and do this all over again, so it should be a great day tomorrow. A little bit of breeze coming in Saturday, which is going to be nice. A chance of rain later next week. So overall, it's not going to be too hot yet. We might get into the 90s in the next week or so, but that's about it. It's going to be kind of nice, a little bit warm in the 80s, but not so bad. Quite frankly, lower 80s for the most part. So it's not going to be so bad here just yet. You know, I haven't been following too much of the weather in the United States so much, but some of this information I see coming out of America recently is kind of phenomenal relative to the flooding in Missouri, Nebraska. I honestly haven't even taken time to see pictures yet, but the way I hear about it, just, you know, people just chirping in my ear and talking and a little bit of side stuff, I understand, wow, it's just really terrible over there. You know, I'm sitting in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula, so I just don't appreciate all the nice, fantastic weather, and then, of course, the fallout we can get from the extreme weather in the States. And I know I talk to the guys here that I work with, and they talk about how, you know, this extreme weather that they've experienced over in Riyadh and stuff. And I'm like, guys, you just don't know what you're talking about, man. You just have to show up and see exactly what's going on in America to really appreciate weather. Of course, the big news coming out of America, this Juicy Smollett case, this guy getting his charges dropped. You know, a lot of inflamed passions, as there should be. This guy's a thug. He was probably part of a political operation. It did not work. Who knows? We understand a little bit. The prosecutor involved dropped all the charges. She was provided with something like $409,000 for her election campaign. That money came from George Soros. So she is, by all measures, a paid-for politician. She should be, quite frankly, immediately removed, as many politicians now we are finding. And that's kind of going to be a theme for today a little bit, is the way in which politicians simply just lie, deceive, and then everybody just kind of turns a blind eye and turns the page, and we're on to another day. And we saw that really in full bloom when you think about it in America anyways, back to 9/11. The Brits can think about it as 7/7. Anywhere we see massive terror attacks, massive purported loss of life, cover up of the crime. Look, I mean, come on, look at, I guess, Las Vegas, how fast that got buried. Every time we see these types of events, we should see, quite frankly, massive resignations from the intelligence services in America. I don't care if it's FBI, local police. Of course, the trainers from the ADL should be absolutely blackballed, because we see failures everywhere. If we're going to buy into these stories, and we are seeing failures across the board from police, FBI, intelligence services, you name it, and nobody ever takes responsibility. And this is a case here where you've got this black woman with a black, gay, Jewish guy. You know, I was listening to, I've talked a little bit about this show. I was listening to a show called KSCO Presents Georgia. I kind of like her show, so I was listening last night. And they had some guy come on, and he's trying to make this out to where, so, you know, you're being racist and this and that. It's like what people really don't understand here. And I listened to this show, guys, and it's an AM radio show. And the dishonesty of the presentation, not by omission or commission, but by intimidation. Because not once was this guy called a gay black Jew. Not once was this guy called out for what he is, a gay black Jew activist working in Talmudic Hollywood by and for and on the behalf of this Jewish leftist agenda that is running rampant, not just in America, but up in Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand for sure. It is a travesty. But here's the main thing that you really have to understand. It does have to do with racial components here. These thugs, this black communist mindset, they have no qualms, and that's not even the word I'm looking for. They have no moral, it's not fiber, they have no moral direction within their DNA to do what is right according to the law. This idea of a fair and ethical and blind jurisprudence does not compute within these black activist communities. It is whatever we can get away with, we will get away with. And our sole goal to rise to power is to get away with literally everything. And it's not just the blacks who are doing this, folks. It's your local synagogues. It's all those people screaming anti-Semite at every other turn. These same people, along with the LGBT activists, are working hand in hand to destroy the United States. Now, if you don't, at least in America, understand now what is happening here, this is not just a travesty of justice. This is the future of a non-white, non-European America, where these people, they don't care about anything. They are I won't call them terrorists. They are Marxists. They're communists. They stand absolutely to flaunt every violation of every law. Oh, y'all. I should have toned that down. Hi, Vera. Welcome so early to Inside the Eye Live. Okay. I'm not sure, guys. I think I'm coming through now. And somehow my microphone got muted. I did not mute it. That's very strange. But basically, it looks like everything is going out okay now as far as I can see. The microphone on Skype did get muted. If you guys can hear this at all, let me know. I did not mute it, by the way. It just seemed to have muted itself. So anyways, welcome to Inside the AI Live, everybody. Dead Air is a great way to start a radio show. What could I tell you? And now what? And hello and welcome to Inside the AI Live. Wow, we got mega, mega massive problems here, don't we? Let's see. Why is that the call not coming through? For now, guys, we're just going to try to muddle our way through this, and let's see what we can do. Yeah, Zap called, and then I've got, guys, stop pinging me so much. I can't keep track of everything and do a show at the same time. You know what I mean? But thank you. Thank you, BB. I got it. I'm watching the chat room now. It's a little bit easier for me also, but I'm going to drop the chat room soon. You can join us in the chat room, everybody, insidetheilive.com. That's insidetheilive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door there. We are now, I hear, back live. Apologies for all that. I don't know what happened, but anyways, we're back. We were talking to Vera. I was trying to solve some things here, and but basically we were talking about some of this animal stuff and the animal, feeding, basically the use of human components in food products nowadays, basically general cannibalism and stuff like that. So anyways, we were talking about some of that. Let's see. The time is 1:22. This, I'm going to do this little clip now, and what it is this is in honor of our British listeners and our British friends of the show, and it really highlights something a little bit more sinister than that, and that is the bald-faced lies that politicians will put out there. Let's hope this goes out clean, but folks, this is for everybody in the UK, because tomorrow you are supposed to leave the European Union, and if you didn't hear that this was supposed to be a fact, here's your prime minister telling you more than once that you are going to be leaving the EU tomorrow.
The Right Honourable Gentleman, no, we're not going to extend Article 50. We have a timetable. We're working to that timetable. We will leave on the 29th of March 2019.
Now go ahead and grab some popcorn, everybody, because here she goes.
We will not be extending or revoking Article 50 or asking for the extension of Article 50, and we will be leaving the EU on the 29th of March next year.
We will leave, and we'll leave on the 29th of March 2019.
We're going to leave the European Union on the 29th of March next year. As of 29th of March 2019, we leave the European Union.
We'll leave the European Union on the 29th of March 2019.
We will be leaving the European Union on March 29th, but the UK is leaving the European Union on the 29th of March.
We're leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019.
This Parliament put the exit date into legislation, and we will be leaving on the 29th of March next year. We have it in our legislation that we will leave the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. Yeah. The government's policy is that we're leaving the European Union on the 29th of March.
Yeah. We'll be leaving the EU on the 29th of March 2019. Yeah.
We will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March next year. As far as I'm concerned, we are leaving on the 29th of March 2019.
March the 29th, 2019. That's when we're going to leave the European Union.
We will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. We are going to leave on the 29th of March 2019.
And we will leave the European Union, and we will leave on the 29th of March 2019.
But I'm clear we're leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. But I'm clear that we will be leaving on the 29th of March 2019. I'm clear that we will not extend Article 50 and that we will leave the EU on the 29th of March next year.
The United Kingdom will cease to be a member of the European Union on the 29th of March 2019.
The United Kingdom will leave the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. We will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019.
We leave the European Union on the 29th of March. This year.
A Britain fit for the future and leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. And the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. And if he wants a meaningful date, I'll give him one. 29th of March 2019 when we leave the European Union.
But we will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019, and we will. And we will be leaving on the 29th of March 2019.
We will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. We're leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019.
We leave the membership of the European Union on the 29th of March 2019.
I can absolutely guarantee to my right honourable friend that we will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. And this government is committed to delivering exiting on the 29th of March. But I just confirm we will be leaving on the 29th of March 2019. That people have the confidence of knowing the date on which we'll be leaving the European Union, which is the 29th of March 2019. And if anybody's in any doubt, we are going to leave the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. I repeat, we will no longer, from the 29th of March 2019, be a member of the European Union. But we will be leaving on the 29th of March 2019. We will leave the EU on the 29th of March 2019. I'm happy to repeat what I have said previously, that we will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March. We will be leaving the European Union on the 29th of March 2019. We're very clear, we will be leaving the EU on the 29th of March 2019 at 11 p.m.
All right, everybody, a little bit of a snafu show to get going here, but we're hopefully going to get this thing rolling a little bit. We have Ola Damigard is going to be joining us hour number two to discuss the Christchurch shooting event, false flag or whatever it is. Ola's going to be coming in on hour number two to share a little bit. If you're not familiar with Ola Palmigard, he's pretty well known within the conspiracy or the former conspiracy site type of market. He's got a website called lightonconspiracies.com. And again, he's been on before, and we had a pretty good show, so I'm looking forward to bringing Ola back. So we're looking forward to that for hour number two. Now, this is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations, again, to help keep the platform alive, up and running. So whatever you can do to obviously keep the platform up, we definitely need your support. And for now, this is our platform, so we use it twice a week, Thursdays here, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on right here, revolution.radio. And then, of course, the flagship show, 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 10 in the morning to 1 o'clock on Saturdays, which most of you probably know about. But if not, you should definitely check that show out. A little bit of news from yours truly. I was on the Graham Hart Show with Breiser this past Monday due to some concerns, or really some issues where Jewish-centric people, that's I guess a good way to put it, attacked Graham this past week. They ended up getting some of his songs taken down from being played at the professional rugby stadium, where he basically had written a song called "This One's for the Boys," and it came out to be what was kind of like an iconic Cornwall song that really plays to the hearts and minds of people in Cornwall, or the Cornish. I guess I'm supposed to say the Cornish and leave off the game hens. But anyways, this counselor is waging a war against anybody that is anti-Jewish in Cornwall, really going after everybody pretty viciously. The guy's we would call him a troll. He's not that sophisticated, but he behaves like a petulant little punk, basically. But it is what it is. And until people start to fire back at these people, we are going to continue to have and take casualties by this type of bullying, because that's really what it is. We are dealing with a bullying mentality that is not afraid to use the instruments of state to affect their message. So I came on to that show to discuss some of these issues. I joined later, Frederick Tobin, Dr. Frederick Tobin. He, of course, is a pretty renowned historian, revisionist, has been jailed, I think, 4 times in Germany for Holocaust denial, has been in court the better of 20, 25 years now, fighting Jews and their rather absurd historical fabrications. Of course, he's never lost anything. You can jail people all you want. That doesn't mean you lost. I mean, the court of public opinion still says Jews are lying through their teeth, and that's why they have to keep taking people to court. See, the truth does not fear any inquiry, and we have to ask Jews why they fear so much inquiry, and of course, we know why they fear inquiry. It's because they are using a historical fabrication to really defraud our nations, our civilization, billions upon billions of dollars and create the political conditions to destroy us. That's really what this Holocaust is all about. The Holocaust is all about destroying Western civilization, and that's really what it has been for quite some time. And you can find Jews talking about it quite candidly. This is a millennia-long assault on the Western world. It's out there. You just got to look. It's not like this is hidden. Everybody knows what's going on. It's just a lot of you who don't know. You get afraid of the term anti-Semite and, oh my gosh, you know, this is terrible. But you guys just look, once you see the truth, man, you don't care. There's, again, you're a juror. You sit on the jury, and I'm a juror, and I sit on the jury, and it's not for us to tell you, the jury, how to vote. It's up to us to hear the facts and accept the findings of our fellow panelists on the jury. And that's what it should boil down to, not this assault on the jurors who you disagree with. And that's exactly what is happening right now in our world today. We are assaulting and going after our own panel of jurists just because we don't like the findings that another jurist might come to, or a conclusion that another jurist might come to when they evaluate all the evidence that this beacon of light culture called Judaism has presented to us. So these are just some thoughts I have on that particular issue. The Ito Cat Report, proudly sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. Again, friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. So again, if you appreciate this and you appreciate all the work that Grism does, go buy him a cup of coffee, man. He certainly deserves it. He's going to have to do some editing here for sure to clean up this show and make it presentable out there. So definitely get out there and support Grism Zapopper, buy him a cup of coffee. Just want to say, first of all, also thank you to everybody in the chat room for keeping me apprised. Before we went into the break, I was playing this clip 50 times. 50 times Theresa May has talked about leaving the EU, and basically she was lying the entire time, and she knew it. And I, you know, I don't even have time to even get too much into it because we actually have a full show today. But nonetheless, guys, this is 50 times. Think about it, 50 times. Anyways, the Ito Cat Report, a little bit disconcerting at the moment. One eye has been missing. Our big white male has been missing. He's been going out chasing the girls the last few week and a half or two, and he has been missing in action now for 2 days. We haven't heard from him. He hasn't been around. We haven't been able to find him. We've kind of cased the neighborhood, cased out all of his hiding spots, even gone up the street to the old house to see if he's around. And as of 11 o'clock tonight, my time, and that's about 2.5 hours ago, 2 hours, 40 minutes, one eye is still missing. So we're a little bit concerned about him. We know he's a pretty smart cat and a pretty strong cat. Nonetheless, when they're gone for a couple of days, that gets a little disconcerting because he does got to eat. He does got to sleep. We don't like him when he's outside all the time. We don't mind him being out. We know he's a good guy and a strong guy and all that, but we just don't like it. And then last weekend, after the Saturday show, Bruiser escaped. He went out and he was outside. And to those of you who know, Bruiser is a blind cat. He's can't see. And what he did was he escaped. He went out. He got out. And so there was a all points bulletin type of search for him. That search lasted about 2 hours from what I understand. And what happened was he was found hiding underneath a car. And when they called for him, he walked out into the middle of the street and was walking out down the middle of the street. And they happened to see him equally because they had kind of like saw him. And well, they saw him. So they saw him in the middle of the street. They ran out to the middle of the street. They stopped some cars, and just explained to the drivers, hey, the cat's blind. The cat's blind. Please stop. And basically put him on their shoulders and took him back to the house. And so that was we've had kind of a disconcerting week with the cats. Obviously, a blind cat walking down the middle of the road in a country where they just don't stop. They don't care. Too many Jordanians honestly do not care. They don't have any compassion for animals whatsoever in this regard. So they will just run them over. So fortunately, we got to him just kind of like in the nick of time. And the darn bruiser, he's like so happy to have escaped for a few hours. He now stands at the front door, screaming at the front door as if to let him out. It's like, dude, you ain't going out, man. So when I get back to Jordan, I think what I'll do is I'll carry him to the side of the hill where he's safe, and I'll let him sniff around the hill a while. It's just kind of like walking the dog. I'm going to have to go walk the cat because he smelled freedom, man. Being a blind cat stuck in the house and stuck to the roof for all his entire life, basically, to get out and sniff something new. For a blind cat, I guess that's really quite a treat. But for a blind cat to be walking down the middle of a road, a street, which is a secondary thoroughfare, which means it's pretty darn busy, not a main thoroughfare, but a secondary thoroughfare, it's not dangerous. We've seen probably two, three cats get hit on this street. You know, some of the stray feral cats, I've seen them get hit. So. And some of them were friends of One Eye, who's now missing. So we've had a little bit of trouble and disconcerting issues relative to the cats. And I'm hoping Bruiser's fine now. Of course, he's back in the house, but we're hoping One Eye shows up. If not tonight, from the time I hung up the phone about 10:30 tonight until maybe now. Hopefully he's already come home and been found, but I'll find that out in the morning because obviously it's bedtime there. In Jordan, they're actually going to go to daylight savings time today. So it's now they're up to me. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. So they're sharing now the same time as I. They were 1 hour behind me before. So that's kind of cool. Everybody's starting to get back on the same time clock. All right, everybody, it's time for the Oyvay moment. Again, proudly sponsored by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. I just want to say I was on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show again yesterday for our show called Fetch on Fridays. And the main discussion was Tim Dwelly and Graham Hart and the assaults by Jews in the UK against anybody and everybody. And that, everybody, is going to be carried on into this, the Oy Vey moment.
Oy Vey. Oy Gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
How do you run by Jews? They don't like you. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy Vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey moment is a little bit more serious. It's coming to us from the UK, for the most part, the UK here. And there's been quite a few kind of Oy Vey moments, but these are a bit more serious, especially after what has happened to Graham Hart this past week. A couple cases here. Number one is there's something known as an LBC. LBC is, I guess, an independent radio station there. Media station, perhaps. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I know it's fairly famous here. And there's been two men now and a woman have been arrested as part of an investigation after a dossier of social media posts were handed to the Met. All right. Now get this, guys. You are talking about full-on tyranny now coming from the Jewish political side here. We are talking about full-fledged political violence. When you are using the police to silence political views and political opinion about something, you are using violence. And what we are seeing now is the willingness and the eagerness of Jewish people, especially within the political realm, to enact violence against people that they simply disagree with their opinions. So reading a little bit here, three people have been arrested as part of an investigation into anti-Semitic posts on social media. Now, the Metropolitan Police announced that they detained three people after being handed a dossier detailing anti-Semitic social media messages allegedly posted by Labor Party members. One woman and two men have subsequently been released under investigation, and the dossier was handed to Metropolitan Police Commissioner Cressida Dick during a radio interview last year. The mayor understands that Labor took disciplinary action in relation to all three individuals believed to be in those investigations by the Met Police, and they were expelled. Now, again, here's the common phrase we are hearing from Jewish people. Anti-Semitism has no place in our society. We should be equally firm and say using charges of anti-Semitism to expel, to harm, to go after, to defame should equally have absolutely no place in our society. Because what we have seen, and we have been seeing this for over 100 years, is the propensity of Jewish people to sit there from their gilded little synagogues and declare what is and is not acceptable in our countries. This is anti-Western. It is anti-free speech. It is clearly egregious. It is clearly insulting. It is clearly an attack on the people that they are targeting. And we see it everywhere, folks. Everything is anti-Semitic. The use of the slur anti-Semitism should have absolutely no place in our society. Because what it's really telling us is that Jews will not accept any opposition to their Talmudic tyranny. And that's exactly what this is. This is nothing but tyranny. If you don't like a bunch of pack of lying people, you have a right to say so. My goodness, before the break, I played Theresa May saying 50 times, we're going to leave the European Union. Okay, now if you dig back and you find a bunch of Jewish people back behind her, you think you shouldn't say something about that? You think you're supposed to let this absolute liar? She is a liar. She is a fraud. She is a traitor. She lied the entire time. She was basically had a rehearsed set of lines, and she's talking about how we're going to leave. She was deceiving her people the entire time. The UK is not leaving the EU tomorrow. This has all been a sham. It's been a fraud. It's been a mockery. But worse, it has been a deliberate, willful assault on everybody's goodwill. She sat there and lied. Now, if you go back behind the scenes and you start to dig into the facts and you find a bunch of Jewish people behind this, bankers, politicians, elitists, you're not supposed to say something. You're supposed to cower and say, oh, well, I can't say that because, well, you know, Lord such and such, you know, he's a Jew and I can't be going against Jews because I might. No, this is treason. To me, the use of anti-Semitism as an allegation to silence dissent is itself an act of violence. And as far as I'm concerned, it's an act of treason to our countries. Because we have a right to our free speech. And Jews, as a minority, who are telling you and me that we have to respect Jewish rights to self-determination as Israel, are turning around and saying, you have no rights to your own self-determination in your own countries. We Jews are going to run your countries, and we Jews are going to tell you how to think, when you can say something, what is acceptable. And for us, at least in the American way, this is treason. Get out of our... No, seriously, it's treason. It's violence, folks. When you go out and you start arresting people because you don't like what they're saying, that is using violence. But it's not just violence, it's tyranny. It is the very definition of tyranny. Using the state to impose your your point of view and literally harming others and taking away everybody's right to petition and have a voice in the political process. I swear, I cannot fathom any government having the stupidity to cower before basically a minority like this. If they are that violent behind the scenes, then you are dealing with a serious issue that requires very serious action. And we spend hundreds of billions of dollars on all of you guys in the intelligence services. Not one of you are doing anything for us. Why are we spending that money? Are you basically telling us that you work for Jews? I think that's the point here. Everybody seems to be working for Jews and nobody's working for the people anymore. That's as I'm seeing this. How can you sit there and brag openly in national media that you're getting arrested for posting something that is quote unquote anti-Semitic? Is that a crime? What is the crime? Seriously, where is the crime? It says it is alleged that the documentation includes evidence of anti-Semitic hate crimes. Who was the victim? These are victimless crimes, folks. There are no victims here. This is just a bunch of bullshit from the Jewish people. There's no victims here. Absolutely none. You know who the victims are? The real victims are those who are charged with this idea that you're quote-unquote an anti-Semite because they lose their careers. They lose their jobs. They are sometimes shamed within their own circles. That's the victim, everybody. Again, the Jews are victimless. Nobody's being harmed within the Jewish community. But when they turn around and do what they do, everybody's being harmed. So who really are the victims? Again, there's an old anti-Semitic canard. The Jew screams victim as he slaps you across the face or stabs you in the back. But that's what's going on here. They're crying victim while they're attacking. Literally, they are crying victim while they are attacking. Now, we don't know the contents yet. Obviously, this is a UK issue. Now, a man in his 50s was arrested on March 7th on suspicion of an offense contrary to Section 19 Public Order Act 1986, publishing or distributing material likely to stir up racial hatred. Well, okay, if you sit there like this Tim Dwelly guy did up in Cornwall, and you go openly on BBC and you call everybody anti-Semites, aren't you actually, think about it, aren't you creating conditions that is distributing material that causes or is likely to stir up racial hatred? Because how can you not start if you start to really see Jews at every turn creating conditions to where they are harming everybody in the process, or at least the victims, and they're bragging about it? How could you not be promoting racial hatred against Jewish people themselves because they are causing this tyranny? And how could you not be causing hatred towards the people that you're actually charging, quote unquote, with these charges of anti-Semitism, which personally, I don't care. I would never care. If anybody calls me an anti-Semite, go screw yourself. Excuse my language. Seriously, go screw yourself. Because quite frankly, adults don't allow people like this to talk to us like that. Go, seriously, go. Get out of my face. I get so annoyed by this disgusting behavior by these people. So basically, you have in the UK, again, a woman in her 70s, guys. This is a 70-year-old woman was arrested on the 21st of March on suspicion of an offense contrary to the same act. And she was interviewed under caution at a South London police station. What's the message the Jewish people are telling us now? What really? Think about it. Are they saying they are tyrants? Are they saying they are bigots? They are racist and they will tolerate absolutely no opposition? That, folks, appears to be the message I am hearing. It's The Fetch. Ola Damigar is coming up next. Inside the Ally, prime time. Back with more right after this. He is an author, international speaker, former journalist, musician, artist, and investigator, and he's dedicated the last 35 years to researching many of the global conspiracies. He's done upwards of 1,000, close to 1,000 international interviews with a total of several million views, and is now considered a leading expert on false flag operations and is believed to even have managed to expose and stop several planned ones. So Ola has appeared as an international speaker in the United States, Mexico, UK, Germany, the Czech Republic, and quite a few other European countries. And without further ado, hi, Ola. Welcome to Inside the iLive Primetime.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
Just out of curiosity, where, if you can say, at least time zone, where are you?
No, of course, I don't have any problem with that. I'm in the south of Spain.
Okay, nice place. How's the weather?
It's actually quite windy and gray at the moment. But there is a reason why I'm here, because I more or less had to leave Sweden many years ago because of some very deep investigations we were doing into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister. And unfortunately, I had two friends who died under mysterious circumstances, and I decided to leave as well after I had a break-in into my apartment and also a threat. So I thought, not really worth the risk.
You know, it's really not. These people, they do their internet, they do their spying, and that spying is not so much to save us from terrorists. It's usually meant to protect them from their crimes and help cover them up. That's what I've learned from my experiences in the United States. That's how the deep state works, man. You just can't be doing anything because they'll follow you.
That's the thing. And so very often when we hear about top secret or that it's for the security, the national security and so on, I would say it's the exact opposite. It's to cover their butt, these dark forces that are carrying out a lot of this horrific stuff against us.
And, of course, one of those I had to deal with, it was a little bit uncomfortable, to be honest, being in Saudi Arabia. I had about 25 guys, if you can imagine, sitting in a classroom environment, training environment. And they said, hey, teacher, type of thing, what's going on in New Zealand, you know? And I got to try to explain to 25 guys that, guys, this is a false flag. Relax. It ain't got nothing to do with us white nationalists, because everybody knows I'm a nationalist. And it's probably deeper than that, and that's why we brought you on, mainly to try to clear up some of the issues around Christchurch, because I haven't delved too much into it. First, to start, you saw where they're claiming now that Mossad might have actually been involved with that. What did you find relative to that angle? Is that something that's plausible?
It is very, very important, I think, not to jump to any conclusions. It's so easy to shout out false flag right, left and center, or that it was that it wasn't a false flag or whatever. So I'm in the process of going through all of these hundreds of different photos, videos, testimonials. I have people on location as well in New Zealand helping me find out stuff. And this one is a tricky one. It's not an easy one. What I can say is that I totally believe that it is a false flag operation, but it's very multi-layered, and it has many different aspects that needs to be looked deeper into. You ask about Mossad. One of the things that I keep bumping into when I look all over the world, I've been on most locations here in Europe where so-called terror attacks have happened. I've been to several of the mass shootings in the US, and also many locations where so-called top political assassinations have occurred as well. And what I've found over the years is that instead of getting confirmed the official story, that has more or less never ever happened, that the official story has been correct. And also the people that have been pointed out as the responsible ones in media and so on, mainstream media, more or less every single time that has also turned out to be fake or false. What I have encountered instead is state-sponsored terrorism, where the attacker is the people we think are there to protect us. And it's all according to the old CIA strategy, yes. The strategy of tension, how yes. to inflict fear in the normal person. And the reason for that is for the normal person to beg for protection, so that the people in power can then come with their solution. And the solution is every single time more and more militarized police, robocops, give up your guns, give up your freedom, your liberties, all for your protection. And also to accept more and more surveillance, giving up our privacy, CCTV cameras, body scanners, backscatters, you name it, all in the name of your security. But I would suggest it's the exact opposite. The ones that are delivering all of these solutions are actually the ones that are the ones creating the mayhem.
So when the story broke, obviously you were probably on the case, so to speak, within minutes. You know what I mean? As soon as you could start to get some of this information. I've received information from people, first responders, people that have been in the firefighting, first responding, emergency medical team type people. And they're saying, God, that looks to me like these are training dummies, some of these shots. What is your analysis of the pictures and the video coming? What are some of the impressions you are getting from the analysis that you've, some of your first points or impressions?
What I would suggest is, if I'm correct, what I believe is what we're seeing is the videos from inside these two mosques are absolutely not real. It seems, though, that real people were killed and wounded. I have people that lives in Christchurch that knows a lot of the people that were injured and killed. Also people that knows people that were working in the hospitals and so on that claims that there were real victims. So, but what I think we're seeing is that there is the official story here with these videos that have been released that are pointing in one direction, but I think that if there was an attack, then that attack was carried out by professionals in both cases and without being filmed. So the footage we're being given is pointing in a totally wrong direction. It is there to divert our attention away from what actually went down and also to point out a specific patsy or group that are there to take the blame for it. And then that will then lead to more and more consequences when it comes to limiting the freedoms of these groups and also the censorship going on, as well as banning guns. That is one of the major ones in this case.
So your point is that the video that is publicly then released is produced. It's basically a fabrication, as you just said. And so that is obviously then a lot of people run with that video and say, see, this is fake. This is fake. This is fake. And you're saying in this case, no, it's amalgamated. We're being fed fake video. And now there's actually something that really happened.
Since I'm not on location, I can't go there and see for myself and speak to people who are in the hospitals and so on. So I have to rely on the contacts I've got there. But there's especially one person, a brilliant musician called Trillian, who lives in Christchurch, and he's the one who's been feeding me with a lot of the information straight from Christchurch. And this is an individual who has no interest whatsoever in giving me anything that is nothing but correct. But so many times it's like secondhand information or third-hand information, which
we're not in a court of law here. That's not going to work in a court of law, what you just said.
Exactly. So I have to rely on that, and I don't feel comfortable with that. I always try to go on location, but I'm in Spain. It happened on New Zealand, and so it's not so easy for me to go there. But what I can say is, it's all based on the old Roman template, problem, reaction, solution. I would suggest that the few in power or the ones in power secretly create a problem. The reason they create this problem, and nowadays that problem is most of the time an alleged terror attack, an alleged mass shooting, a virus scare, a financial crash, something like that. The reason why they create this problem is for to get the population, the global population, into an absolute state of fear where we don't think, we just react emotionally, and then we turn towards the ones that we think are there to protect us, not understanding that it's actually them who have created the problem, and saying, please, 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 we need protection. And they will then say, well, the only thing we can do with this serious problem is, and boom, in comes their solution. Problem, reaction, solution. It's the old Roman tactics here. And the solution is every single time something we would never, ever have accepted had it not been for the problem. So it's a psyop.
You know, Ola, what's kind of interesting about this one Christchurch, this particular mosque, and the synagogue shooting is there is a, again, it's, I can't verify it, but there has been talk about how each of these carried within their own realm some extremist ideas. In other words, there was some extremism against the nations even being fomented from these institutions. And so it's very curious that story's floating. Have you heard that at all in any of your channels?
When you say synagogue shooting, which one are you talking about?
In Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
This is a rapidly open border synagogue.
I have major question marks around that one as well. I very much doubt that one, as I doubt so many others. But when you... It's very hard to know these things because these things are being leaked out afterwards. And very often when you start to dig into these things, they will leak out like red herrings that are pointing in all different directions. And very often they go for the old Roman tactic, another one, divide and conquer, so that we will start, instead of seeing who is actually the ones doing it, we will look at each other and say, well, they did it. No, you did it. No, the Muslims did it. No, the Christians did it. No, this, the, that. And if you look at this as from a psyop point of view, then just the name Christ Church, you have a Muslim mosque shooting in Christ Church. You see, already there you have the clash between the big religions just in the names and the whole setup of this thing. Mm-hmm. But also there's so many other things that just screams out false flag operation. And for people, are your audience aware of what a false flag is?
Well, of course they are. But for the few that don't, you could share it. It's a pretty sophisticated audience for sure, though.
Yeah, but it's very important because many things that a false flag is when there is an operation and nobody dies. They think that that is a false flag, but that has nothing to do with it. A false flag is an old naval term, a marine term from in the old days when Great Britain or Spain or Holland or whatever were traveling around the world, invading, rape and plunder wherever they came. And they were in a position where they had the military power where they could do it. But sometimes this caused problems with trading agreements or neighboring nations and so on. So somebody came up with the idea, instead of us being blamed as the bad boys here, why don't we do it like this, that we put whatever target we have, whatever target nation we have, we put their flag on one of our own ships, then we let our own ship attack ourselves, and then instead of us being the attacker, we become the attacked one. We are the victims, and then that will then justify us defending ourselves. And the result is the same, invasion, death, rape, and plunder. But now the rest of the world will applaud us, saying, oh, my God, how brave they are. They were being attacked. Poor, poor them. Mm. But they managed to defend themselves. And so when you look at these ones, when there is a false flag, it's actually the attacked one that is the attacker. It's a psyop. It's a total 180-degree turnaround. So many, 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 many times when I am go on location, I really try to dig deep into these, which is very, very scary sometimes, I tell you, because these operations are ongoing for several weeks up to months after this the main event has gone down. What I find again and again and again is that the ones that look like they were attacked is actually the ones who have done it to themselves. And all of it so that they can, that we will accept their solution. And here, I mean, it didn't take many minutes before, boom, ban the guns. That was, it came straight away. And it also you have, before every single of these alleged terror attacks, when they are false flags, there will be a drill beforehand. That is standard. And the drill is there officially for our protection, our security. But the drill is there for the people who are carrying these operations out to be able to come on location, close off streets, get through the permissions with the local authorities that they infiltrate through their contacts, get permission to close off the streets, get rid of normal people in the area, get their vehicles in positions, the smoke bombs, explosives, crisis actors, directors, photographers, all of these things in location so that they can prepare, they can also rehearse. And it's many times during the drill that these high quality photos that are then being pumped out in media around the globe afterwards saying, oh, the face of terror, the face of terror, boom, boom, boom. These photos are being taken, but also these type of, I call it the catwalk of death, that, you know, when somebody is walking around with a video camera among the victims, and these, the quality of these videos are always really poor, very blurry, and you hardly ever see the face of anyone injured so that you can, good enough so you can identify that individual. But this person is just walking around and you never find out who has was the one filming it. This is part of this operation as well, because that's part of the psyop to create this fear porn that is there to be spread out. Because all of these operations, their main target is us, the global population. So they need to control the information flow that goes out from wherever this attack is said to have happened. So they don't really focus on people on location. They don't care about the people in whatever city it is. They go global or nationwide. So I've done one presentation a few years ago that I feel very good about. It's called Terror, Are You Kidding Me? And in that, I just go step by step. I go through the whole thing, how they set them up, what vehicles are used, how the whole thing is so...
Ola just went completely silent, man. I think I'm still here. Let me see. I think I'm still live. Isn't that fascinating that Ola would actually go down at that specific moment in time? How cool, how clever is that, huh? But we do seem to have lost him. He's still here, but I don't seem to see him anywhere. So anyways, guys, we're calling again. If we're not able to put this together, we will obviously keep the show rolling quite along. Not an issue. Obviously, everything is fine, guys. On my side, everything looks good. It's still ringing out to Ola. And what can I say, folks? Well, that's just the way it gets when you're actually doing some good work and people don't want you to do that good work. But, okay, Ola, I think you're back.
I am indeed.
Boy, that was weird, dude, because I watched you and it literally, dude, it was like someone just potted you down slowly and you disappeared.
Well, what can I say? I did a show with Winnie Eastwood, which is one of the biggest channel on New Zealand, just a few hours after this went down. And we were doing a live stream, and right in the middle of the live stream, it was just shut down by YouTube with a big sign for bullying and harassment, and it was just shut down. And now his channel has been restricted. We did a second show, now it's restricted, so he can't upload, nor I don't think he can broadcast either. So now he's using a backup channel. He's trying to get that one. But it's just, it's really getting tough, you know, this censorship. My Twitter channel was shut down because I had mentioned this interview. I've done multiple interviews since this happened in New Zealand here, but Also, Facebook is trying to shut it down. I had friends who had their accounts totally deleted. And so it's, what can I say? The dark forces behind these operations are showing their ugly face, and they're getting very brutal here.
It's not just that they're brutal. I mean, it's like they're not, like you said, it's they're showing their ugly face. They're not hiding anything anymore. It's like, why is YouTube engaging in censoring this information? And then the government of New Zealand, the way it went off, it's like sheer lunacy. You know, you could get arrested for distributing this. When did we devolve into this type of totalitarian mindset? You know, it's just something I never grew up with, and we never would have even fathomed it. In fact, we would demand the government, no, you stop censoring, you give us the information. Not this way, Omar. This is like everything is perverted.
Everything is upside down. It really is upside down. But so much of this is
okay,
due
to... Okay, we're going into a break. Just hang, hold your thought. We're actually going into a break. Trying to pick this up on the other side. It's The Fetch, everybody, with Ola Damigard inside the Ally Prime Time. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. Inside the Ally Prime Time, March the 28th. For most of you, it's March the 29th. For me, here already, it's basically... Britain get out of EU day, but I bet you it's not going to happen, everybody. It's just not going to happen. Our guest, Ola Damigard, his website, lightonconspiracies.com. That's lightonconspiracies.com. You can go there, check out his work. Again, he's regarded as one of the foremost experts in false flags or analysis of false flags. He also has got a Patreon account that you can go on and support his work. And of course, everywhere that you can support people in the alternative media, it's very important nowadays because quite frankly, most of us are under some type of siege or attack. And Ola, I guess you are under some type of siege, but how are things going with you?
It's constant incoming fire, you know, but it just shows that you're on target when you're receiving flak. So after all of these years, it's just part of the game. But it's getting rough. But I want to go back to the drills because we talked about the drills. From people who are not aware of New Zealand, there are two different islands, and it's a very peaceful, beautiful country with only, I think, about 4 million people there. And Christchurch is the third biggest city on the southern island. But it's only got like 360,000 people there. And we're talking about a country where the police are in Christchurch. They had not been armed until just a month or so ago, just before this happened. There was a series of violent alleged crimes. I'm saying alleged because very often these crimes are also there to back up the need for RoboCop to enter. So was there a drill in this very peaceful country? And yes, there was. There was a drill for several days that came all the way up till when the shooting started in the mosques. And the people that took part of it was a global sharpshooters government training drill. Global sharpshooters government training drill. Okay, and the people that took part of it was the Police Special Tactics Group, STG, New Zealand's Defence Force, NZDF, the New Zealand Special Air Service soldiers, NZSAS, and Australian and Hong Kong police agencies. I mean, that's pretty heavy artillery.
That's some heavy fire stuff there. That's not the local police just, you know, eating some donuts and going out. These guys are pretty well trained.
These are heavy duty individuals, and they were the people that responded right when this happened. They were the ones that were there on location, running around in SWAT team uniforms, with sniper rifles, all of it prepared. I mean, they were there armed when this happened in Christchurch. So that was very lucky if you want to see it from that point of view. But I've been pointing out for several years that, to understand what's going on in the world today, you have to see that these alleged terror attacks happened in NATO countries. These are NATO operations. The U.S. Backed Saudi and Israel are there in the background, financing and organizing the whole thing. But it is, these are mainly NATO operations in NATO countries. And it just go around and around and around. So you got mass shootings in the U.S. because that's where the weapons are. And you got terror attacks in Europe because that's, there are not a lot of guns, but so we need to freak out people in other ways, and that's through these alleged terror attacks. And over the years, I've been able to publicly on international radio, up to 2 months before they happen, predict 15 of these alleged terror attacks. Yeah. And I can tell you...
It's no joke, man. That's actually a big track record. I mean, it's not like getting lucky.
I know. It's my last name has actually been turned into a verb. So now if you go Googling Damagarding, that means how to find the clues for upcoming attacks in the forensic evidence.
Really? So,
but one of the things that I've been pointing out for years is that I believe that we are not... when you look at the world, it looks like everything is crazy and that there are terrorists everywhere and bombs going off everywhere. What I would strongly suggest is that what we are actually seeing is a small mobile unit that is being transported from NATO country to NATO country, or people or countries that are included in the Five Eyes Agreement, which is a spy alliance, where these operations are carried out. And they're being transported in big Army C-130 planes from NATO base to American Air Force base, these type of things, and then transported from these airstrips. They normally use airstrips where there are no flight towers, so nothing will be registered, and then transported to location in buses where they then are doing the drills and then preparing the whole thing live, which is then being broadcast. In the group that is being transported, you have directors, crisis actors, controllers, you got military experts, pyrotechnics experts on explosives, you got marketing agencies that comes up with slogans and product placement, you got makeup, you got wardrobe, you got catering and so on. And these are then being transported around as a small little unit so that they can control all parameters. So the question is, was there by any chance any C-130 planes being observed in the area? And guess what? Yep, there was. At the exact same time as the other drill, there was a drill called the Exercise Nocturnal Reach 2019. And it was Hercules aircrafts from the 40th Squadron that was flying, conducting a training flight across the South Island. And they were passing exactly over Christchurch multiple times. And Christchurch has an airport. It's even if it's a small little town, they've still got an international airport. So here's another one, that major box that is ticked off here.
So when did the C-30 allegedly arrive?
They were flying on the 13th of March. It was the 2 days before the shooting took place. That's when these planes, and people were seeing them. They flew very, very low, under 500 meters, these massive big planes. Even a friend of mine called into one of the local air bases asking, what the hell is going on? And they said, no, don't worry. It's just a drill. It's just an exercise. So I would strongly suggest this could be the way that this group that carried out this operation was transported into location.
That's actually, these are both, actually, I'm actually enjoying this. You're giving me some, I kind of agree with everything you're saying, that we're looking at the videos were certainly fake. No doubt about the videos being fake, but that there may have been actual shooting behind the scenes. That will discredit a lot of people in the alternative media who just jump on the videos and have no clue about anything else, because all they see is the videos, and the videos are fake. The next issue here is the C-130 thing. I didn't even think of that. Some type of roving band of jolly terror filmmakers.
I call them the Global Tour of Terror. I've been calling them that for a long time. It's just like a rock band on tour. You know, like if you got Pink Floyd touring the world, you would have the exact same setup, more or less, with lighting, cameras.
How much budget, Ola, do you think something like this is going to need? Have you thought about budget?
Yeah, but they've got unlimited funds.
Well, of course they do, but what type of budget do you think it's going to take, you think?
I have no idea, because there's so many different layers to it. But they even include the product placement in these operations as well, so that also helps financing it, I think. You know, so you have all of these, for instance, when...
That's amazing, yeah. So basically, you put the Coca-Cola sign in there and you charge Coca-Cola for it.
You're not even kidding here, because take, for instance, the 7/7 bombings in London, where there were four train stations hit, subway stations and a bus, and there was a drill, ongoing drill, that went from passive, went live. There was more than 1,000 people involved in these drills in London, in central London, when this exact thing happened. And when the bus was blown up, if you look at the images of that bus, you will see on the side of it, there's a big, big banner, no text. There's an explosion on it. And right in the middle, there's a Coca-Cola bottle, nothing else. So you see the blown up bus, the debris, and on the side of the bus, a Coca-Cola bottle with an explosion behind it. Product placement. Many times you got like McDonald's shootings, like in München and so on. So you will see that sometimes, you know, the images are like half the image is of people that are shot or lying in the street. And then half of it is a sign with the logo of Starbucks or McDonald's, and you have a whole long line of these alleged terror attacks where people have been saved by their iPad or their Mac laptop or their Samsung phone or the iPhone. Do you know where, I don't know about you, but if somebody has an AK-47 and start shooting, I don't think that my cell phone will save me. But here, it's incredible. So many different times, you have all of these where people hold up the phone and say, Samsung saved my life. You know, there was shrapnel flying and it just hit my phone and it saved my life. It's a piece of plastic and aluminum, of glass. It wouldn't save anyone from a bullet, but here we're being told, and there's all of these stories where they show up, these things. I don't know if you've noticed, but that's just one part. There's so many things where you, it's more or less always in the center of the images, so you can have like blood and debris and bodies in the background, and then in the center of the image, there can be a bag, like a Puma bag or something totally sharp. And so you are seeing the blood and debris, but your subconscious is seeing Puma, Puma, Puma. Or, for instance, when the Charlie Hebdo shooting happened in Paris, France, the car that the alleged shooters were driving around with, it was a Citroën, let me see here if I remember it right, C3 from 2013. But when they found the car, these two alleged shooters had just left in the street. And thank God, I mean, they left the driver's license and the ID things, like so many others. I mean, this is the thing. If you're a terrorist, especially if you're on a suicide mission, you remember the balaclava, the black outfit, the AK-47, and your ID or passport. That is standard equipment.
And you got to make sure that MasterCard is left too, so. You know, they can show that you actually went to the gun store and bought the guns with your MasterCard.
Yeah, and then we put in the Quran as well, just to make sure. And then in the back seat, you got an ISIS flag just to pump it
just
in.
Just to really make sure.
Yeah. No, these arms, I've been looking into hundreds of these things, so it's not just
how
one.
Many of these? Okay, how long does it take to set up and tear these things down, based on your observation? Obviously, was this a 2-day setup teardown type of thing with the C-130s pumping in, or is there groundwork that's laid ahead of time and then they kind of put it all together?
I did not understand that question. Is that on my
part? Yeah, when you're talking about doing an operation, you have your setup time. You got to set the operation up.
Yeah.
And then you got to tear it back down, which means do the cleanup. Yeah. How long does it take?
I think we're talking months ahead, at least. I've got several people that I know very closely, former CIA operatives that have been part of the false flag operations. One of them was Chip Tatum, who was he was one of the pilots in the Iran-Contra scandal. He was also a pilot and working closely together with all the presidents from Richard Nixon up to George Bush Sr. And when he was under George Bush Sr., he was the commander of Pegasus, an ultra-secret hit team or an assassination team that carried out at least 14 assassinations. So what can I say? Badass, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what he says is that when you look at these operations, you have to look upon them globally. We're talking about the New World Order. And it's all according to their agenda, how to take over the world. That is what they're looking for. And so when these operations, the way they're coordinated, and this is also how I found these clues, is globally. And so what he said, what Chip said, was that if we mess up one of these operations, for instance, if someone like myself predicted and put the spotlight on one of these planned attacks so that they cannot carry it out, that can then delay the rest of these operations for months before they get back on track. So this is what I'm trying to do, mess it up for them on a constant basis. Just keep messing it up so that it will be delayed, and in the end, hopefully we'll start.
Ola, we're in a situation where they tried to push this out as being a white nationalist issue, and I know that we have major problems in Europe with population replacement, and they're not even hiding it, quite frankly, anymore. We have massive, almost like you guys in Europe had 2015-16 with the caravans of people flooding Europe. We have the same thing now coming up from Latin America into, you know, North America, the United States. We have almost the same type of situation. So obviously people within Western European nations and the diaspora were kind of getting pissed off at this. You know, we didn't vote for this. Nobody voted to have our countries just kind of flooded and taken over. And that's one angle they put here. But when you look at it, are there not any nationalist forces working inside the intel services to help stop? I mean, you're just one guy, but you don't have the assets others got. Do you see any evidence of any nationalist forces working somewhere in the intel world to go after? I mean, this should be done. If there's a sane world, Ola, you scorch earth these people.
No, but you're talking about the same world. We're not talking about the same world at all.
Yes, I know.
I mean, this mass immigration, the planned mass immigration I've been aware of since the early 90s, it's part of the agenda, how to destroy nation by nation, how to destroy the national identity, how to dilute populations and mix up everything in total confusion, and also stir the emotions so that you can hopefully get civil war started, and then the solution, problem, reaction, solution will be martial law, and in comes more and more militarized police. That is the whole idea. So these mass immigration things is not just a coincidence. It is totally their agenda. They've been writing about it in books. Sabinsky or David Rockefeller have been talking about this for many years. So this is not something that happens just by coincidence, or that what you see in the States with Mexico.
It's a huge amount of funding to move this many bodies. I mean, it takes massive money.
Yeah, but then again, are they being moved? Because also you have to see the way the impact the media has. That is the main thing. What I've seen here in Europe, I cannot guarantee it, but what I've seen on some location is where you have busloads of people, immigrants or people with dark hair, that have been traveling in long lines of buses to the border of, for instance, Austria. okay, the photographers are there. They have been called in. They take photos of all of these thousands, hundreds of people that have gotten off the buses, and they look like immigrants standing on the border. Boom. Then they take the photos. The journalists go home. Then the people get back on the bus. They drive to the borders of Germany. New photos taken. People off the buses, photos, immigrants at the border. Then they go to the border of Italy. We're talking about the same buses, the same bus loads. Mm-hmm. And so we're back to the PSYOP here again, where I'm at a point where I doubt mainstream media to a level that is ridiculous. And I'm used to work for them, so I really feel ashamed of what's going on. But there's so much you have to doubt nowadays because it's only in the media. It's not real. Do you know, like I can say here, for instance, I live on the southernmost tip of Europe. When I look out the window now, I can see Morocco. It's that close. It's like a 35-minute ride in a ferry to go there. We're being told, if you ask in other European countries, this part of Spain is being invaded by refugees lying in boats, drowning in boats, dead bodies floating up on the beaches and stuff. I've been here since the year 2000. I have not seen one boat. I've not seen one dead body. I've not seen one refugee at all. How is that possible? It's because it's only in media. That's the thing. They're doing it. These agencies are working massively and on a propaganda level to make us become fearful, to think that we invaded, that to think that we are being facing this incredible threat.
Yeah, but you're a Swede, okay? You can't tell me that this what's going on in Sweden is a fake. We've had so many Swedish guests on that they just say it's absolutely crazy now.
I can only say that I grew up in Sweden. I was born in Denmark. I grew up in Sweden. And I can tell you, I don't know since I'm not there. I haven't been there for 20 years, but I know quite a few people in the... I know quite a few people in the police force in Sweden. And I spoke to them about the crime statistics and all the statistics about rapes and gang rapes and all this. They say it's so exaggerated that it's totally out of proportion. So what is real or what is not, I don't know.
So it's very difficult when you're getting mixed signals because we've got people saying no, and we do our research. It's underrated. It's under-exaggerated, you know. They're not telling the truth.
So, but how do you find the truth? How do you know if you do not look into every single case? Is this real? Is it not? Next one, did this happen? Did it happen the way we were told? Yes or no? Was it a setup? Yes or no? Or was it real? You have to, every single one you have to look into to be able to say anything. Because if you just go for and you look at statistics or you look in the newspapers, how can you believe that? If you are a true journalist and you want facts, you have to go and find them yourself.
Okay. I don't know how that's going to go over, but I can see where you're coming from. Just a lot of us around the world, you know, we've kind of like seen it in our own hometowns, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially in America. You know, and I lived in a place called Alhambra. Alhambra was a Mormon town, 98% Mormon. And essentially what happened was during the Taiwanese transfer, a lot of Taiwanese moved over to America. The Taiwanese bought Alhambra, literally. They just bought the town.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Mormons moved away, took the Chinese money and left. And Alhambra and Monterey Park became basically Chinese towns. They were literally just bought up.
Yeah,
and the Chinese people, I'm not complaining about them, but that's actually what happened. They actually bought up the towns.
I can totally understand that and believe that. And also when you look in Europe, I mean, there is a whole shift going on. But the question is, why is it happening? How is it done? And if it was that big a threat to these different nations, why don't they just close the borders? But here we have the exact opposite. They complain, but what they do, they open the borders. Like Sweden has opened the borders. If the problems are that big for that nation, why don't they close the border or limit the immigration? But well, here,
as you said, Ola, we don't live in a sane world, man.
No, but this is according to the New World Order. That is how these things work. And you have to look at the politicians who are doing this type of work. You can find them in groups like the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, Club of Rome. These groups, and many of these members are members in more than one of them.
So we have about a minute left. Why don't you get real quickly, explain your website a little bit, how they can reach you, how they can support you.
Well, my website is lightonconspiracies.com, and it's very kind of you to offer support, because this is just like you say, yeah, more or less everyone in my situation is on our knees. It's not easy. And so there's donations, Patreon, my Facebook page. It's like an underground headquarters for anti force flag operations, exposing them before they happen. And also I've got multiple books on Amazon or my website lightonconspiracies.com. So well,
support Ola, guys. He works hard for you to get the information out. Ola, we are actually out of time. We'll get this up on my website, and then you can link it back, and let's see if we can get a little bit going for you also. So thanks so much for coming on Light Notice.
My absolute pleasure. Anytime.
All right. All right. Thanks again, Ola. That's Ola Damagard, everybody. LightOnConspiracies.com. We're out of here. I got to get to bed. I got a meeting early. And so we'll see you guys Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. inside the island. Good night, everybody.